Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Brewers Outlet Cinco de Mayo specials between now and Tuesday. Corona 24-pack bottles, $29.95. Dos Equis 24-pack bottles, $23.95. And Modelo 24-pack cans, $22.95. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarkets. All right, time now for our play-by-play call of the day.
Socked to right center. That ball is hammered by Albies. That ball is gone! Another home run for the Braves. It's a three-run shot for Albies. That's his 10th of the season. It's 11 to nothing.
They won they're now 19-11 of the year. Great start for them. Gotta give them all the credit in the world for what they've done. All right, let's get to the Kentucky Derby, which will be tomorrow. 2 minutes of absolute rollicking excitement. And looking forward to it, as always. And this is some field. Steve Bortstein joins us now from Fox Sports Radio in Louisville. Steve, welcome back. Great to have you with us.
Happy to be back with you guys. How are you?
It's great to have you with us back again. A lot of people feel this year they might be, quote, justified with their bets. He's 3-1 right now, has not lost. What do you like about Baffert's horse?
Well, he's done everything right. He's won his first three starts by a combined margin of 19 lengths. He hasn't had a straw in his path really the entire way. He's led basically wire to wire in all three of his career victories. That being said, his maiden victory came against a field of four other horses. His second career victory came against a field of four other horses. His third career victory came against a field of six other horses. If you do the math there, that's 14 horses. He's going to have 19 others to deal with in one race on Saturday. So it's a very different element. He's also done that at Santa Anita Park in Southern California. He's never been outside of Southern California. Now he's going to do it in front of 150,000 people at Churchill Downs on the first Saturday of May. So no pressure at all.
Yeah, no pressure at all whatsoever. But he does start out of the seventh spot. Good spot with a 20-horse field.
Good spot for him. He'll want the lead, so he doesn't want to be around. He doesn't want to be too, you know, disadvantageously drawn, like down on the rail or all the way on the far outside. He's right in the middle of things, so he shouldn't have much trouble. The horses that are around him aren't speed horses. The horse drawn immediately to his inside, Good Magic. The horse drawn immediately to his outside, Lone Sailor. They're not speed horses, so he should be able to break free of those two right out of the starting gate and hopefully establish a pretty good position under jockey Mike Smith.
All right, and so, Steve, let's get to other parts of this. I'm getting the sense, and you can tell me if I'm wrong about this, some fields are deeper than others. It just depends on the particular year. I'm getting the sense this is a decently deep field.
It is. And I think the reason is, you mentioned Justify. Him and Magnum Moon are two of the favorites in the race here. Justify, your 3-1 morning line favorite. Magnum Moon, 6-1 on the morning line. Those are two horses that are going to get a lot of attention. They both have to overcome a curse, if you will. One of the biggest curses in all of the Kentucky Derby's history, and that is they did not race as two-year-olds. No horse since 1882 has won the Kentucky Derby that did not race as a two-year-old. Well, the question is, well, how many horses have done that? Well, 65 have tried, and all of them have failed. The closest anyone came was Curlin back in 2005. So it hasn't been done. So that's one reason this field is so wide open, is that two of your pretty heavy morning line choices in here are trying to overcome a major curse. another major curse to overcome here is with the second choice in the morning line, number 14, Mendelsohn. Mendelsohn was a romping winner last time out overseas in the UAE Derby, which is run on Dubai World Cup Day at Maidan Racecourse. No horse in the history of the Kentucky Derby made his most recent start overseas, then came to Kentucky to win the Kentucky Derby. That hasn't been done ever. So there's another curse you have to overcome. So it's because of things like that that this race does have some very wide open possibilities.
Justify, obviously, is a speed horse. Give me a couple of other speed horses that won't mind going to the front. But and then, of course, the next part of it is, do they have any of them have the stamina? Because nobody's run a mile and a quarter yet.
Promises Fulfilled is going to be the speed of the race. He's drawn down close to the inside. He's a big long shot for trainer Dale Romans. He likes to win. He likes to go on the front end. That being said, the last time he did that was in the Florida Derby. He started out really fast. Didn't wind up really fast. He wound up being beaten 35 lengths when finishing last in the Florida Derby. But that being said, he will set the pace out there a little bit. Another horse who I think is not going to be too far off the early lead is a horse by the name of Bolt Doro. Bolt Doro comes from Southern California. Most recently, he was beaten by Justify in the Santa Anita Derby. Some complained that the ride that Javier Castellano gave this one was a little bit to the end. Victor Espinosa is going to ride Bolt Doro. Is very familiar to a lot of Kentucky Derby fans, having ridden both California Chrome and American Pharaoh through victories in the Derby. So Bolt Doro's going to be a speed horse, and I think if you look at maybe a couple of horses on the far outside, Magnum Moon probably won't be too far off the early lead. Noble Indy probably won't be too far off the early lead either.
I want to ask you about the jockey part of it, because as you know, you and I both know, these guys ride hundreds of horses. Okay, hundreds of them. And I always like the idea of like what kind of feel do they have for the horse, for the ride, you know, being in sync with the horse. What does it take for a jockey, and how impressed are you that the great ones seem to get a feel as quickly as they do for the animal?
I think that's one of the unsung stories about horse racing, is the relationship between horse and jockey, and how certain jockeys just know tendencies in their horses. And I think that's why there's an intriguing element to a horse in this race that's going to be a bit of a price for trainer Todd Fletcher by the name of Vino Rosso. Strong way outside in post 18. If you look at his jockey, John Velasquez, he's also ridden several other horses in this race in the past. He was aboard Audible when he most recently won the Florida Derby. He was also aboard Noble Indian. He's been aboard a couple of other horses that are running in this spot, yet he chose to ride Vino Rosso. Why? Because he knows this horse very well. And that's a rare thing to find, is that combination of jockey who gets along with their horse and who knows that particular horse's quirks, their tendencies, their little intricacies, if you will. So I think it's intriguing when you look at Vino Rosso. John Velasquez rides primarily for Todd Fletcher. So he could have chosen anybody. He could have chosen to ride Magnum Moon. He could have chosen to ride Noble Indy. And he chose to ride Vino Rosso. So I think that's an element there you have to look at. And that relationship between horse and jockey a lot of times gets overlooked.
And Steve, you and I both know Johnny V is one of the special guys in the sport. I mean, you want to talk about somebody who brings instant respect, Johnny V usually does right away.
No question. And I mean, there are certain jockeys that transcend the sport. I always talk on my show about certain brands sort of are bigger than the sport they represent. The Yankees in baseball, the Bruins, if you will, for hockey, the Raiders, the Cowboys, and the NFL. Johnny Velasquez is one of those people that transcends the business of being a jockey. So I think to that end, John Velasquez, Mike Smith, guys like that who are still currently riding at the highest level are people who transcend the sport.
You touched on this a little bit, but give me somebody off the pace that you think has the ability to close.
There's a really interesting long shot in here who he may not win this race, but I think he hits the board, and I think he's a horse that if you're looking at the Belmont, if you're looking at other three-year-old races down the road, you want to follow. The number 9 horse, Hofberg, he's going to come from way out of it. He's not a fast horse early, but he's going to close a lot of ground, and I really liked the way he finished second behind Audible last time out in the Florida Derby. If you look at the margins of the top three finishers, Audible was 3 lengths clear of Hofberg. Hofberg was nearly eight lengths clear of the rest of the field, which means he wasn't giving up a lot of ground, and he was putting distance between himself and the rest of the field. So I think Hoffberg is an interesting contender from off the pace. I mentioned Vino Rosso a moment ago. Audible's another one who's going to come from off the pace. So I think you're going to see those three. And I think there's enough speed in the race that if it does begin to back up a little bit, those are the horses you're going to want to be following.
Usually in these prelim races, I don't know about you, but I like to watch the next 100 yards after the finish line, because you and I both know that neither one of them has gone, none of these horses have gone a mile and a quarter. I want to see who's still got a little juice 100 yards later. I mean, do you look at that sometimes in these these races that build up to the Derby, maybe to look for that little something extra from somebody whose tank is not as empty?
Sure, and I think you look at that not only in their most recent prep race, but you look at that in some of the earlier races as well. Sometimes
right.
when a horse is just trying to go two turns for the first time, someone who's trying a different track for the first time, because track configurations are different. The stretch is longer at the fairgrounds where the Louisiana Derby is run than it is maybe at Gulfstream Park for the Holy Bull Stakes. So you look for things like that, and that's why, again, I go back to a horse like Audible, who was not only impressive winning on the short stretch, the short stretch finish line at Gulfstream Park in the Holy Bull, but then turned around and won on the long stretch finish line about a month and a half later when he won the Florida Derby. So we know he can handle that extra distance. We know he's going to be able to still have something left in the tank. So I look at a horse like that. I look at horses who have that ability to also rally when they get hooked. Sometimes horses get involved in a stretch battle. That's why number 19, Noble Indy, when he won the Louisiana Derby last time out, he got hooked. He almost got passed by a Lone Sailor at the top of the stretch, and he fought back resiliently and came away with a hard-fought victory. Again, that's not to say they're going to win this race, but it is to say that they do have that innate ability to show a little bit extra when called upon.
Steve, love the conversation. Thanks so much for the great info.
No problem. Anytime, my friends.
Steve Borstein joining us from Louisville, Fox Sports Radio. We will come back with more in a moment as we continue. Brought to you by Brewers Outlet here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket, imports, domestics, microbrews. Best selection of beer anywhere. You're heading into the weekend. Hey, guess what? You want to make sure you're fully stocked. Maybe you like wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. They got plenty of that. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. And the pickle bar is indeed second to none, led by the barrels and the dills. I was snacking on a barrel during the show here today. And we're in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. All right, great to have you with us. My brother coming up at the in the final half hour of the show today. The Phillies will play tonight. I think it's, for them, they need to take as many series as possible. So they got, Washington next, I think, right? That's next.
Yep, tonight you got Gio Gonzalez and Nick Pivetta will be your starters. And we were talking a lot last year about Washington's bullpen not being all that good. Well, they're well rested, and they swept four from the Pirates.
Yeah, the Pirates got off to a great start, but they're still headed for being a 72-73 win team.
I'm just interested with this Washington dynamic now in the lineup, now that they have Bryce Harper hitting out of the leadoff spot. I just wonder how long that's going to stick.
I don't know. you're trying to get him more at-bats and so forth. Okay. This is... It's interesting that... we talk so much about analytics. Okay, what's interesting about this is that originally, you still have people that resist analytics, right? They resist it. I don't. But I think you have to have a balance and a mix. Because that brings me to the next part. When analytics first started to really take over, you had a lot of old-time sports people. Not, it's not just baseball, it's any sport using analytics, so they all are now, right? That resented it. All right. Now, that part's been talked about. You know what's never talked about? And should be? Is that if anybody ever has anything critical to say about which analytics are important or which aren't, the people who love analytics get really mad. That's never talked about. It's like it's our way or the highway. No. There's certain areas where for example, making an out, striking out is like making any other out, correct? Except here's the difference, okay? Other than the obvious, there's at least action when the ball's put in play. How many errors are made during the course of a week? Because the ball was put in play, you've at least given yourself a chance where maybe the other guy makes a mistake. Striking out means there's no margin for that. There is no mistake. You're out. By putting the ball in play, it opens the door. As teams will commit a couple of errors in the game, there's a couple opportunities in the game that by putting the ball in play, you've been able to at least open the door that they might make an error and you get there. And sometimes those are game-changing plays. That doesn't get talked about. The shifting is really intelligent. You're basically taking what the other guy does at the plate and you're adjusting your defense because of where he hits the ball. Brilliant use of analytics. Constructing a batting order. To me, I'm still more of a traditional guy. I don't want Bryce Harper at the top. I want Bryce Harper hitting third or fourth. Because I want Bryce Harper in a position where he's driving in runs. Like, he let off the game, but he didn't even let off the game with a home run the other night, right? Which gave him a 1-0 lead. That's great. But I'd like to have a couple guys on base when Bryce Harper's at the plate. Chris Bryant, let's look at his career very quickly. I think Chris Bryant was a 100-plus RBI guy his first 2 years. And far be it from me to ever question a guy like Joe Maddon, whom I think is a brilliant manager. Okay? But moving him to the two spot, again, analytics really values the two and the six spots in the order. It's the way it is. Bryant was hitting down in the order. Let me see. Where's his career stats here? I've got his 2018 stuff here. It's not what I want. He walked more times last year. No doubt about that. Let me see here. He drove in 99 runs in 2015. He drove in 102 runs. Then last year, he hit out of the two spot, and he played 151 games last year. And his RBIs went down to 73. He dropped 29 RBIs. Now, he did hit 10 fewer home runs, but he hit three more home runs than he did in 2015. Okay? So he had 26 in 2015, 39 in 16 when they won it, and 29 last year. Now, last year, he hit in the two spot. So, despite hitting three more home runs than 2015, he still drove in 26 fewer runs. See, that's not what I'm looking for there. I'm looking for this guy to be a guy that drives in runs for me. I mean, that's what I'm looking for. Now, his average was higher last year. He had 295 last year, the highest average of his career. Yet he drove in the fewest runs of his career. Now, part of that, of course, has to do with people on in front of him. But I'm a big believer that you need a mixture of really good analytics, because I think they're important and a great addition to the game. But don't discount some gut instinct and some traditional baseball as well, because I think they both work. Analytics, there's people believe so much in analytics, they think it's their way or the highway, and they get mad when anyone has the audacity to question parts of it.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way? The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere, and the Cinco de Mayo specials between now and Tuesday. Include Corona, 24-pack bottles, just $29.95. Dos Equis, 24-pack bottles, $23.95. And Modelo, 24-pack cans, $22.95. They also have water, wine coolers, soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. And the pickle bar, led by the Barrels and the Dills, of which I had a snack during the show of one of the barrels from Brewer's Outlet, indeed second to none. We are in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Humbles Wharf. So I'm at the Susquehanna Valley Country Club on Wednesday. We had a great time, great event, did hours of radio out on the patio. Sue is a big fan of the show, and we appreciate Sue very, very much. She works at the Susquehanna Valley Country Club. She works hard every day. She's a great employee. I mean, I'm telling you, she does everything. She was setting up for dinner. She was moving tables, all sorts of stuff. And she took the time to come over and say hi. And she also wanted me to make sure that everyone knew that as she drives home after a hard day of work, and she is a hard worker, that when she drives home, she likes listening to the show, and she particularly enjoys Friday afternoon when my brother's on.
Is she the one who pulled the pickles out? Oh, lick of my chops, man. Those are looking...
Oh, that's right. That's right. Sean took the picture of the pickles.
Yes. Yeah. He sent it to me.
And after I sent it to you, I kind of felt bad.
Only kind of.
Because he's never going to see him. This is as close as he's going to get to him.
Well, that day anyway. Look at it this way. You're one day closer to getting those pickles from that bet. So.
Oh, yeah. I can't wait. Oh. Hey, Steve, guess where I got a job? Who hired us?
The Yankees?
No, oh, Sophia's did. Pizza place.
That's good. I'll tell you. There are not many places on the face of this earth, in my personal opinion, make better pizza than that place.
Yeah, nice guy. You know who his neighbor is?
No.
Stormy Daniels will be there in another 3 weeks.
Yeah. Well, I guess, that's right.
So I guess he's gearing up for the crowd.
Yeah, the overflow going over to Sophia's to get pizza and
stuff. You may be surprised. She may pack a crowd that night there.
She's gonna.
She's packing crowds everywhere. Yeah. I mean, I got it.
Guys, this place is a dive. I can't believe she's going there. I mean, I've never been there, but... They used to have a bagel for a sign. They don't sell bagels. Just a big bagel on the sign. So anyway. But I thought you'd get a kick out of that. He's a nice guy. It's the first time I ever met him. But he gave me a lot of work. We're making a steamer for him, shelving for the kitchen, stuff like that. So
wow, that's great.
Cool. Yeah.
That's great. Is he listening to the show? Because, I mean, when I stop in, do I get a discount?
I've maxed out at 8 people.
Email him a link to the email him a link to the podcast.
That's okay, because I only brought 4.
Let's see. 8 and 4. That's so 12.
We're up to a dozen.
Dirty dozen. I'll try to get us to blackjack.
Right. And Sue at the Susquehanna Valley Country Club, she's like maybe half me and half you. So so you kind of brought 8.5, and I brought 3.5.
Well, I thank her for the pickle picture. So,
Sean did that. She just likes hearing you on the show.
But she put the pickles out.
No. No, we actually got them from Brewers Outlet. One of Corey's crew from Brewers Outlet brought them up to us during our broadcast on Wednesday.
Really?
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And we were doing
time
that.
I go there, I'm going to Brewers Outlet. I want to see this.
You should.
Yeah.
Oh, you'll love it. Great store, really well laid out, a lot of room in the aisles, a lot of help to get cases and so forth to the car. Really, they do a great job there.
Well, my favorite food in the world's peanuts. I mean, that's my safe food. You know, if I want to eat a candy bar, I'll eat peanuts. So it's just, because I'm weird. But it's a good source of protein. But every time you read that commercial, man, I'm like, maybe I'll just go there. 350 miles. Hi.
Hi. I like some pickles and some peanuts. I'll take a bag. I drove 350 miles. I'll take one bag.
Glad to see your pickle bar. How you doing?
Come on, the parking lot, eat it. Okay, thank you. Bye now.
Hey, you're back for more. I better grab more for on the road.
Boy, tough week here. Tough week. Claire's son-in-law is dying in Hartford Hospital.
Oh, no.
He's got a rare brain disorder he gets mini strokes all the time. And his brother died of it. His mother died of it. And now he's pretty much out. And lo and behold, Claire's daughter, Dawn, who lives in the apartment attached to the house, her gallbladder went. So now she's on the 8th floor, and David's on the 9th floor. And we can have the perfect trifecta because her granddaughter is due any day with a baby. So we can have everybody in the hospital all at once. But
wow.
It's pretty sad. Claire, I feel so bad for Claire. I mean, she's up and down, floor to floor, you know. They took Don's gallbladder out today, but David took another step down. He's got a 13-year-old daughter. It's just an awful story. So, if you like to pray, say a prayer for my wife and her family.
Yeah, absolutely.
You betcha.
It's a tough, tough time for them. Really tough.
Yeah.
So. Anyway.
Meanwhile, you're a Yankees fan. They're playing great.
they have caught the Red Sox, and now David Price is back in the doghouse in Boston, and it doesn't get better than that. If you like to listen to sports talk radio, they're just killing the guy. And you heard all the stuff of Eckersley last year.
Yes, yeah.
I mean, that was just, the guy is, you know, it goes to show that New York, Boston, they are hard places to play. They are, it takes a special athlete to play there. And as good as you were before you got there, you're going to be tested. And he failed the test. Carl Crawford failed the test. It's a tough place to play. They love you when you win, but they have no patience for you when you lose. So.
Well, I mean, you look at Ed Whitson, it was one, in New York, just couldn't cut it.
Yeah.
Kevin Brown.
Yeah.
Couldn't cut it. I mean, certain guys, and then other people, like C.C. Sabathia thrives on it.
Yeah. Who's the other guy, the real tall guy? I'm horrible with names. With the long hair.
Here.
Who?
Johnny Damon?
No. The pitcher. Randy Johnson.
Oh, Randy Johnson. He had no problem pitching in New York.
He was a lot better before he got there. I mean, he got in a fight with the press the day he got there.
Yeah.
Walking down the street, you know. It's a tough place to play. And unfortunately, it tends to ruin careers. I think they always talk about bad Red Sox trades or people they released. When they let... here I go again with the names. He went to the Cubs.
John Lester?
Yes. When they didn't re-sign John Lester, that was the dumbest move they have ever made.
Yeah,
because
I agree with
he
that.
Proved he could pitch in Boston. Obviously, he won World Series there. He wanted to play there. They didn't want to give him a fourth year or a fifth year. And I was like, are you kidding me? And who replaced them? David Price. And look where they are, you know. The Sox will be there at the end, but the Yankees got a lot of firepower. They took apart Houston.
Took them apart. That's after they took apart the Angels. I mean, they had a great road trip.
Yeah. I mean, they took 3 out of 4 from Houston, and not many people do that these days. So, they got some pitching, and they got incredible hitting. But I still can't get enough of the Stanley Cup. I'm just all over that. So, and my wonderful wife lets me watch it. So, there's a lot of games.
There's 2 games every night, for goodness sakes.
Yeah.
I thought the Penguins Capitals game last night was just a great game to watch. It's interesting where I watch a game and the goalie that wasn't the winner, I thought was the better guy, and that was Brayden Holpe. I thought Holpe played great last night.
Yeah,
there's so much
firepower.
The stats between both teams so far in this series. I mean, it's just amazing. I mean, it's just a little bad hop here or there, or maybe just a little mistake here or there. It's going to make or break this series.
Yep, which makes it so much fun to watch. Me and Sean were talking before. I'm fascinated at the speed of Winnipeg. They can flat out fly. When those Nashville and Winnipeg plays, it's just like a sprint. It's back and forth, back and forth. You're like, holy cow. It's a great tournament.
No, it's great. And for Winnipeg, the one thing Winnipeg needs right now, they need Patrick Laine to get untracked. Line A is a fabulous young scorer. I mean, you look at some of the great young players in this league. Connor McDavid with Edmonton, Jack Eichel with Buffalo. Patrick Laine is the third guy in that group.
Pittsburgh? They were just raving about him the other night.
Bob Guentzel?
I don't know the names that
probably,
well.
Probably.
He's 22, 23 years old.
I would guess Jake Guentzel.
Yeah, Guentzel's 23.
He handled the puck.
Guentzel's a good, really good player. Really good scorer. Scores in the clutch. But Line A is just one of those exceptional Connor McDavid, Jack Eichel type of talents at his age And he has gone, in terms of goal scoring, scoreless in his last six games. He's the kind of guy in this Nashville thing that could be a real swing guy. And he gets a lot of shots on net. He only had one shot on net in last night's game. And that's not what they need out of Patrick Laine.
No. Nashville did a fascinating thing. They brought, is it Hertel?
Scott Hartnell.
Yeah. They suited him up. But, man, he took that game. He changed the game for them. Hockey's a fascinating game. It's the closest thing to college football there is, the Stanley Cup tournament. And just the, you know, the crowds into it, and okay, we're having trouble, so we're going to bring this veteran in. And God, he played what, his 90th playoff game or something.
Yep.
It was just unbelievable. And man, he was great. He was fighting people. He was like, I can't get enough of it. So, I'm a Bruin fan. But if the Bruins are out, then I go to the Penguins. So I love the champion, and the Penguins are the champion until somebody knocks them off, and they're going to be a hard out for anybody. They know how to win these games.
By the way, the Winnipeg Nashville series is the Hartford Whalers series. Peter Laviolette is the coach for Nashville. Paul Maurice is the coach for Winnipeg. They both coach the Whale.
Our poor Hartford Whalers. You know, people still wear their hats.
Oh, I'm sure they do. Oh, my son Dan has a Whalers hat. He wears it all the time. And Malcolm Moran, the legendary writer for the New York Times, Chicago Tribune, is now teaching in Indiana. Right? Mm-hmm. Malcolm taught here for a period of time, and he taught Dan in class, and Malcolm loved the fact that he had a Whalers hat.
Oh, the poor Whalers. I mean, you can't make it up. It's the way it goes. They trade Ron Francis for John Cullen to Pittsburgh. Ron Francis leaves the Whalers. Ron Francis started with the Whalers when he was 18. He was Hartford. He could have run for mayor and won. He goes to Pittsburgh, wins a couple Stanley Cups. Then he gets traded back to the Whaler organization, but they're now the Carolina Hurricane. And they won a Stanley Cup. Meanwhile, Hartford's got nothing, you know?
That's right. Oh, I know.
It's like, God. And you know what? I do a lot of work for restaurants in Hartford, and every one of them says they have never recovered from the Whalers leaving.
Never recovered. Yeah. I mean, that's what a sports franchise can mean. And also having a sports franchise is a psychological part to it as well. You're given the perception of being a major league area if you have a major league franchise. Go ahead.
They did nothing to keep them. Nothing.
I know.
Yet they spent $1 million in 3 days thinking the Patriots were going to move to East Hartford.
I know.
It's the stupidest thing. They built a model, and it cost $1 million to make the model, and they called Robert Kraft here and all this stuff, and they thought, we lost the Whalers, but we're going to get the New England Patriots. It's like you're looking at it, and you say, Robert Kraft's a lifetime Patriot fan who also happens to own Kraft Foods, who's a multi-zillionaire. He is never, ever moving that team to Connecticut. Never. Yet they did everything they could to get the Patriots here. And they had a team, and they let it go. And lo and behold, 2 years after it left, it won the Stanley Cup. This place would have rocked with the Stanley Cup.
Oh, but, no doubt. No, it didn't have fun. It's funny because old Samuelson's daughter is on the hockey team here at Penn State.
Really?
And I told her the story one day, a Cliff Notes story about, you know, I said, you know, your dad was an important part of the Hartford Whalers. I said, and then he was part of that trade that went to Pittsburgh to kill the franchise.
Oh, God. Olfie was great, too. I used to go down. I joined the junior Whaler fan club. And they used to practice at the South Windsor Arena. And I remember Olfie was sitting. He's a big guy.
Yeah,
he was. Yeah, he was up against the boards. I was right behind him. I was just fascinated that watching their practice and all that. It was so good for this area because we really were that in-between state. You're either a Yankee fan or a Red Sox fan. Or a Met fan or a Jet fan, but we don't have anything except for the UConn women to hang our hat on. So, and we had the Whalers, and they let them go for no reason at all. They destroyed the economy in Hartford by doing it, and they never recovered. So, anyway.
Yeah, other than that.
I got nothing else.
Other than that,
go Bruins. they gotta get a win tonight.
Well, Bill O'Brien was funny because Bill and I went to the dedication of Pagola Ice Arena together. All right.
Mm-hmm.
And so Bill and I are sitting there and we're talking about all the old Bruins, Johnny Bucyk and Kenny. Because Bill O'Brien loves hockey. Right? And I said, yeah, I was a Bruin fan. I said, for a long, long time. I said, then finally, I kind of moved over to the Hartford Whalers. And Bill looks at me and says, yeah, and you know how Bill talks. Steve, the Whalers? The Whalers? I said, Bill, I grew up 15 miles from Hartford. I said, we finally had a team.
Yeah.
He looks at me and says, all right, Jonesy, maybe I can see it. Maybe.
Oh, God. Back then, the Whalers were the Bruins minor league team. And that's how the Boston area treated it. It was funny. You went to a Whaler Bruin game, it was a home game for the Bruins.
Oh, the Bruins fans were everywhere.
All the tickets. Yeah.
You and I went. And the place was loaded with Boston Bruins fans. Hey, Ray Bourque, way to go. Let's go, Bruins. Meanwhile, the Hartford ownership is in the back counting the money from all the Bruins tickets.
Yeah. But the one thing the Whalers could hang their hat on back then was Terry O'Reilly was the bruiser for the Bruins.
The Bruins.
He'd fight anybody. He'd fight your mother. You know, he was a nasty guy. Kevin Dineen was the All-American boy for the Whalers. He was homegrown. His father was a big recruiter in Springfield. Kevin Dineen was quiet, but great, great little hockey player.
Yep.
I think he coached the Olympic team at one point. But anyway. Yep. Terry O'Reilly starts giving Kevin Dineen crap and starts pushing Kevin Dineen around. Kevin Dineen dropped his gloves, and O'Reilly goes, oh, you want to go? One punch, Dineen knocked him out. O'Reilly just crumpled to the ice. Dineen picked his gloves up and skated away, and nobody ever messed with Kevin Dineen again. It was you want it? I'll give it to you.
Well,
he was not a fighter at all,
that's what
but
happened
he
with
could
Bobby
fight
Orr.
If he wanted to.
Well, that's what happened with Bobby Orr early in his career. The Rangers decided they were going to do it, right? So they go out there. So Orr dropped his gloves and beat the daylights out of Brad Park, and nobody fought Orr again. They went, dude can handle himself. Okay.
Yeah, that's all it takes. You sure you can handle yourself?
Okay.
Yeah, I don't think I want any part of you.
Okay, now here's one of the better ones. The Whalers, of course, were an offshoot of the old WHA. They were the New England Whalers. And they had this player by the name of Nick Fetiu.
Yeah.
Nick Fetiu, if he scored two goals in a season, it was an offensive success. All right? Well, they faced a team, the Minnesota Fighting Saints.
Yeah.
And if any of you have ever seen the movie Slapshot, the Hanson brothers... All right, the Hanson brothers in Slapshot were real hockey players. Their last name is Carlson. They were actually the Carlson brothers, and they played for the Minnesota Fighting Saints. And one night in Hartford, Nick Fetiu took on all three of them, and all the benches completely emptied. They started. It looked like roller derby.
Let them beat them up.
They went all. I mean, but if you ever saw the movie Slapshot, okay, the Hanson brothers, they're real. Okay, they are the Carlson brothers, and they actually play in the WHA. And that night in Hartford, in the old building, they got into this massive fight where all the benches effort, and Nick Fetiu went around and fought everybody.
He was a tough guy. Do you remember that defenseman they had? He was so Chris Kostopoulos.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God, he was the worst hockey player. I think I could skate better, and I couldn't skate. There was one, just a breakaway every time. Every time he was on the ice, the other team scored. Every time. And the Whalers were so bad, their arena roof fell in. They didn't even have a place to play. They had to rebuild the Hartford Civic Center because it fell in.
Oh, I remember driving by and seeing all the twisted metal. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah. Yeah. Boy, that was a tough night. They're lucky. UMass and UConn played.
I had tickets to the game, Kev.
Really?
I had tickets to the game because I was back on holiday break from Penn State, and I had tickets to the game. And I didn't go.
4 hours later, the whole thing fell in.
Nick Fetiu scored 41 goals in his pro career.
Wow.
Only 14 of them with the Whalers, though. His top out year, his best year is he had 10 goals for the Whalers one season.
Wow.
And 8 assists. But he also had 100.
That's better than I thought.
He also had 174 penalty minutes.
Your station for news, weather, business, and CBS Sports Radio. News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury and on WKOK.com.